Headphone mode, engage.
You got some nice red beats there now, Matt.
Yeah, these are Sarah's, actually. So, I have to be gentle with them.
Is it the subtle flex, subtle flex on the pod?
No, my subtle flex is the AirPods in the car. It's remote start, by the way.
Oh.
Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
If I'm not in bed by 9:30, I'm like, that's a problem.
I think we're good. What's going on, everybody? We are live with Underground Sports Philadelphia, episode number 102. Kyle Bennett, Matt Castorina, Brooke on Broad, a.k.a. Brooke Desha, making her main show debut. Dom Ponteri, and off to the side, the one and only Dylan Mazzola is in the building as well. What's going on, everybody? Brooke, welcome to Underground Studios for the first time.
Highly anticipated event moment is finally here. I'm here, happy to be here. It's freezing, but I made it, so.
At least we're not in Chicago.
Very true.
Yo, you that video was crazy.
In a lot of different ways, honestly. At least we're not in Chicago.
But before we get into our sports talk tonight, got to give a shout-out to our sponsors, Main Auto LLC, Huffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. And this show, since there's so many people here, is powered by the Red and Gray Gridiron Group at Vineland High School. A little bit of Eagles updates. Paul Warlow got re-signed today. Mike K. from NJ.com, friend of the pod, broke that news last night. He tore his ACL in May last year, so he never set foot on the field last year, so the Eagles giving him a shot again. And then recently, before we started recording, Zach Ertz tweeted at Bryce Harper and said, yo, when are we going to sign? It's taking a little too long. So apparently Zach Ertz is tired of waiting just like we are.
Yeah, I think we're all a little sick of it at this point. Because we had what we thought was going to be the day this past week as well, which I think made people even more angry. I saw, like, in the, like, from the morning, it was a lot of optimism. Yeah, like, the bat tweet, which everyone woke up to. And then as the day went on and you went in the afternoon, people just start, like, ripping on the MLB and saying that the free agency sucks and saying that there's going to be a lockout. Like, it's really big swings in peaks and valleys with baseball right now in free agency.
I totally agree that there's going to be a lockout because the way that things are going, this is 2 years in a row now that we've waited this long, if not longer, for free agency to, you know, become the hot stove, and it's like chilling on the back burner, as we say. But I was talking to James Seltzer today from WIP and the Go Birds pod, and on his show today, he produces the Midday Show there. He brought up a fantastic point when it comes to free agency. There's obviously some, you know, hills that you'd have to climb over for it, including with the players' union, but he said January 1 should be the deadline for multi-year contracts. After that, if you want to sign a contract, one-year deal. And then next year, you just go back into free agency, test the waters again, see if you get a multi-year deal. But any contract signed after January 1 would have to be a one-year deal, and I think that's a fantastic idea.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
I was reading an article the other day, like, how these big contracts are affecting all the middle-tier and low-tier players. Their salaries have been decreasing the last, like, 10, 15 years because the teams wait to sign these big players.
And Sean Doolittle from the Washington Nationals brought it up on Twitter. I was talking to Brooke about this the other day. He's like, somebody tweeted, like, what's your biggest baseball pet peeve? And he was like, the fact that there's 113 unsigned players with 3 weeks to go before spring training. And then went on this whole, like, thread of, like, kind of just bouncing off of that. And it is ridiculous. You know, we're 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks out from pitchers and catchers reporting to Clearwater, and 4 out of the 10 big-name free agents still aren't signed. Harper, Machado, obviously. Dallas Keuchel's not on a team. Craig Kimbrell's not on a team. Freddie Galvez just got signed, and he was kind of like everybody's T.J. Yeldon to Le'Veon Bell for Manny Machado. and we're still sitting here waiting, and potentially this is going to drag on through February.
It is pretty archaic that they don't have it. You look at every other major sport, and there's a deadline to get free agent signings done. So, yeah, it is kind of – it would kind of make sense for this next CBA for that to be a big thing. But as far as it being a lockout, I mean, we've seen the players' union go strong like that before. There's a reason that the players' baseball union is one of the strongest, and the reason they have the great benefits they do and all those things is because they haven't been afraid to strike it and lock seasons out. I think what's detrimental about that, though, is baseball's in a really difficult spot in that – they're vying very seriously right now for everyone's attention. I mean, you look at, like, this should be, like, if you look at, like, the NBA, right? NBA is the gold standard right now in terms of just viewer attention and participation and just general, like, just dominating the news, like, 24/7. We are not even in free agency. We don't have two generational talents that are up to be signed by anyone, and like the MLB does, and NBA is getting all the buzz.
Yep.
Now, obviously, when you have Anthony Davis like requesting a trade, that's huge news. That's always going to be talked about. But I just think if it's, you know, again, if you just think about this from the NBA's perspective, if there are two generational talents, like you'll have this summer with Durant in free agency, that is all anyone is going to talk about. That's all people talk about now.
Mm-hmm.
With baseball, it's like.
That's all we talked about last year with LeBron.
You make the last few minutes of SportsCenter, you know, like
They're eliminating baseball tonight from ESPN.
Yeah. I still can't believe that.
Yeah,
that's shocking to me. Yeah, honestly,
one of like the biggest last credible shows on ESPN is now being taken away. No, so that's, I don't know what they're doing to fill that. But
are they keeping it?
No, like the program is just gone.
Not even like going to ESPN News or ESPN 2.
They're completely axing it,
which is weird because I thought Baseball Tonight was really good. Yeah, I don't know.
Carl Ravage is fantastic.
As someone who's not even like the biggest baseball guy, like I enjoyed watching
it. It's one of the only things that I watched openly on ESPN, like daily because of it. But.
Yeah. I don't know. I think a lockout though, I mean, I think you're really taking a risk though, because like I said, you're continuing to have to vie for everyone's attention, and in a world where I can watch anything I want anytime I want, I need to know why I should watch, whether it's your sport, your Netflix show, your movie, your YouTube series, like literally whatever it is, like
draw me in
some way. And yeah, I think having this drag along is a little annoying, and I don't think it's good for baseball at all. But I also don't know that a lockout is going to be any much more helpful to them. It may, you know, from a union, strictly union and employee standpoint, yeah, but I think if you're talking about it as like a media entity, that could be a real issue.
And the biggest issue is the CBA ends after the 2020 season going into 2021, which is when your best player in your sport becomes a free agent, potentially.
But if they don't make any changes to that, imagine the fiasco that'll go on with waiting for that.
Oh my God.
You want to talk about something that would would like be able to tell your grandkids about is, you know, like having the lockout when Mike Trout is a free agent. Like that's just,
and
I
that's
don't
one
know.
Of the things too. Like all three of the other major sports have had a lockout like this century, like
this decade even.
Yeah, the NFL was 2010, 2011. NBA was 2011. I forget when
hockey
the NHL
was
2013.
Didn't they have two? They
had two.
A full one and a partial one.
Yeah, hockey got back in like the middle of the season. I remember that.
And then baseball hasn't had one since 1994. So that goes to show you like how...
Hell, the NLL even had one.
Yeah, the NLL had one this year. So like...
The league hadn't been officially formed yet.
They're still growing as a league, but you have a fully established league that hasn't been in a lockout since 1994. Yeah. That just goes to show you how well the owners have worked with the commissioner and with the players and everything in between. And now these past 2 years have kind of crumbled that whole thing down to almost square one again, because here we are 2 days away from February and Bryce Harper and Manny Machado still don't have teams.
I wonder if it's also a player power thing, because I think you look at, if you had to guess, the reason that Harper and Machado haven't signed yet is because they want to maximize their financial gain from this, right? I mean, that just makes sense. I think you've seen a real like resurgence, because I don't think we've ever had a time where players and athletes specifically have had the kind of sway that they do. Like, again, to bring it back to NBA, I know I keep doing that, but in the NBA, like, you used to never see like star players request trades. You get like three a year now. Like, Anthony Davis, as surprising as it is that he requested a trade, like, it's just like every other month now, you have a guy that's disgruntled and wants to either go to a big market or wants to win. Yeah, you have Jimmy Butler already. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if you see someone this summer. Kyrie apparently doesn't want to re-sign in Boston. Like, I think players now understand that they should be getting, they see like billionaires raking in, you know, all the profit sharing that they do. And you see, like, especially in like the place like the NFL, how much money they make just off of just TV deals. Players want a piece of that. And I think they're willing to wait as long as they can in free agency or force any trade to get it into that big market to make what they believe is their share of the pie, which is fair, but I think it's ultimately frustrating when you're waiting on Bryce Harper to sign for your team. And it's like, I think this should have been done, I don't know, a month and a half ago. I don't know.
And, you know, on top of that, you're waiting for Harper and Machado to sign. That leaves, you know, these 100-plus other free agents without a job because they're waiting for that market to clear up and figure out, okay, what teams can I go to now that these guys are signed and have taken up a roster spot on that team? You got guys like Marwin Gonzalez not signed, Josh Harrison not signed.
Moustakas.
Mike Moustakas still isn't signed. He's kind of like your runner-up prize for Manny Machado now if you're desperate at third base.
Craig Kimbrell.
Craig Kimbrell's not signed.
Dallas Keuchel,
like we said, you know, there's a ton of players that aren't signed yet that should be on rosters by now, and it's just getting to the point where it's not even entertaining. Like, NBA free agency, players are signed in like 2 seconds, and then you're still excited about that second tier of players getting signed. NFL free agency, there's that like moratorium period where you have to wait a week for it to be official, but you find out who's there, and okay, Adam Schefter's tweeting out this person signing once the deadline to sign is available. It's rapid fire. You're waiting to see teams like swap, and that's been a key point of baseball. Is like, okay, where's this person going to play next year? Are they going back? Are they staying? And now it's kind of just like, okay, can this just get done?
Yeah, those. I think you're right. Those free agency periods feel more like an event. This feels like a formality when it shouldn't, you know? And I don't know if formality is even the right word. It's just a grind. You know, like, we were talking in December that, January 15th was, like, kind of, like, our idea of maybe when this could happen. And it was, like, and then we heard, like, through the new year, like, Manny's going to take his, you know, inquiries. It's, like, and I said this, is, like, what more do you need at this point? Like, what more information, what more thinking can you do? It's all about money at this point, just trying to get the most that they can. These players have apparently had their offers for some time now, even though some people are saying that they haven't. They've had their offers. You've had your time to think about it. It's not about choosing where you're going. It's literally just all down to trying to get the most money. And that sucks, though, because like you said, there's a lot of other players that, I mean, just take the aspect out of it of them, like, you know, trying to sign with the team. Like, these are people that are deciding where they're going to be living for the next year or a few years and have to move their family still, like, have to get a house, either buying or renting, like, have to get their kids enrolled. So, like, you know, it just kind of sucks that, like, they're getting held up in a process that, yeah, it's hard to feel bad for millionaires, but at the same time, like,
they're people, too.
Yeah, they're people, too, and, you know, they have to, they're going to have a really quick turnaround to have to move potentially across the country because Bryce Harper feels like combing his hair some more. Like, I don't know. It's just a little stupid, I think.
And then we got a little bit of a leak because friend of the show, Cole Irvin, Philly's top prospect, got a picture sent to him of MLB The Show 19 of him in the game. So the game's developed. Like, it's done.
I was really hoping someone's going to slip up and have, like, the roster and Bryce Harper be on the roster. That would have been amazing.
So the game's, like, in people's hands right now. Cole got a picture sent to him. It's on his Twitter. And just a picture of him, obviously, in his Iron Pigs uniform. But, like, that gives you more proof that, like, MLB The Show knows something.
And they're milking it.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely dragging it out now. But from a marketing perspective, that's huge.
Gold.
Because that's what everybody's talking about on social media. It's where Harper's signing. It's what MLB The Show is talking about. Stats, how he would improve every single team he's interested in. And from that, like I said, from that perspective, it's really great.
Mm-hmm.
From fans' perspective, it's driving everybody
and
crazy.
MLB The Show Twitter retweeting Philly Sports Talk polls.
Yeah, the whole poll. Yeah.
I think they're doing that for marketing and
easily
just because of hype. You know,
that's
obviously
what they did the other day.
Yeah, but
we'll pay attention to this page.
We're gonna tweet out
a video about Bartolo Colon.
I don't know. I don't know how much they really know. I think they're playing just more into it than they know something. Mm-hmm. They probably made the game with, like, the current rosters, and they're just going to update them because it's easy enough to do that now. So,
well, I said this on last week's show, though. The problem is, it's like, you have to, like, he's going to be athlete. He's going to be on the cover.
Yeah.
You need to have those, like, manufactured and, like, kind of soon, you know? Like, those, again, those arrive, like, 2-3 weeks before the actual release date.
Unless they keep that whole, like, front with him with, like, the hoodie and hat on instead.
That would be so stupid.
It would be stupid. I agree.
Especially since they came out and said, like, this is how he's going to
That's
announce.
The whole point of him being in the hoodie is that there's going to be the reveal of his new team is going to be on the cover.
Like, the first commercial is probably going to be him unzipping the hoodie and, like, boom, here's my new jersey.
Yeah.
Superman style.
But, yeah, MLB free agency, just, like,
sort it
fix
out.
Yourself.
Sort it out,
please.
Please. I just want to get excited for spring training, and I can't
which is literally
yet.
Like 2.5 weeks away.
I just wanted to be over.
Yeah,
just, like, that's really. I was hoping that he signed not just because it would be Bryce Harper and the Phillies, just because I could, like, stop worrying about that part of my life for a few months.
Yeah, and then
like,
you got people coming out and saying, "Oh, there's, you know, security driving to Citizens Bank Park." God. Yeah, it's because Jimmy Rollins is back with the organization,
right?
Which we can touch on definitely. I think it's a fantastic hire by the Phillies front office to bring him back, kind of be the community relations guy. It's essentially what the Eagles did with Brian Dawkins a couple years ago, and then he moved up the ranks in the organization. Jimmy deserves to be in Philadelphia, and I think it's a great hire.
Absolutely.
Yeah, loved and respected by everybody in the city, I think. So.
Plus, we get a kick-ass giveaway on May 4th with the replica World Series Jimmy Rollins ring.
We're that's all like going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see that.
The Phillies promotional.
It's not even one of those limited ones apparently either. Like it's like first. It's
Whoa. It's like fans 15 and over.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I meet the requirements. I'll be there.
Did you see the Father's Day one?
Father's Day is awesome.
That one's pretty
dope. It's a Phillies vest. Mother's Day, it's a Phillies like
it's a nice looking
pullover,
like, quarter
zip.
That was
baseball definitely has
vest?
Some of the coolest giveaways.
Vest on Father's Day vest.
Gotta go.
Don't forget the mystery bobblehead night.
Mystery bobblehead night, which
update
also
my
was
marketing.
Like, I was like, oh, mystery bobblehead. They're gonna slide Bryce Harper in there as soon as he signs.
Oh yeah, no way we don't get a Bryce Harper.
Chase Utley and Ryan Howard's retirement game nights are bobbleheads.
Do they have nights for a holiday this upcoming season?
I don't know if they are or not.
I would imagine I'd probably do something.
It'll probably be during like alumni weekend or something that they'll do that. Two bobblehead nights that are confirmed. Well, there's actually three that are confirmed. Rollins has the ring night. Utley is a bobblehead. Howard's a bobblehead. And there's an Aaron Nola bobblehead again this year.
Jeez.
Not
Star Wars edition, though,
yeah,
correct?
Not Star Wars edition. It's the day game, like, alternate cream jersey Aaron Nola bobblehead.
Okay.
And then there was another.
There's that shirt hoodie too.
Yeah, for the. I
can't remember what.
I think it's kids 14 and under.
The shitty.
I can.
The shitty.
The best.
Yeah, I don't think they call it that. Just sound that out.
Shirt hoodie.
The shitty. Shitty sound in Philadelphia? Yes.
Yes. But yeah, their promotional schedule came out, and they always do a great job with promotions, except for Dollar Dog Night, because it always ends in April. And when we were growing up, that used to be like, there was one every month of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's four in
that
April.
They don't do that anymore.
There's definitely a reason. Last time I was there with Kyle, I had 8 hot dogs.
So. Dude, but Dollar Dog Night is a... That is such a great night.
It's a whole party. But yeah, I think there's 4 or 5 dollar dog nights this year. We tweeted out that promotional schedule too on our Twitter at UndergroundPHI, so check that out. We'll be at a ton of those games for sure. Obviously, opening night is the t-shirt giveaway. Opening day is a rally towel. There's a whole bunch of really cool stuff that they're giving away. There's the 2009 team's 10-year anniversary celebration during alumni weekend, so that'll be really cool. Cliff Lee probably coming back to town. So that'll be something to look forward to. But definitely check out the promotional schedule. It's on our Twitter, so we'll be partying at Citizens Bank Park all season long, especially when Bryce Harper finally puts pen to paper and gets his ass here. But
I think if he doesn't sign with Phillies, it's going to be more disappointing than LeBron with Lakers.
Totally. But we've talked
about that question.
For me personally, I cried on that rug right there.
And then right in front of this camera, too.
So
LeBron was pretty devastating. LeBron was pretty devastating.
But like you've been saying all the time, too, like we're the Lakers in this situation with Bryce Harper, where we knew LeBron was going to the Lakers, and then that window of hope kind of just opened up for the Sixers, and then it closed like 2 seconds later. Everybody's been talking about Harper going to the Phillies since last year, and it's just continuing to go and go. The Dodgers had their little window, and then we said, bye, Magic, you took LeBron from us. Get out of our face. And then the White Sox had their little window.
He had
and,
some tampering to take care of in the NBA. That's why.
He's busy paying Rich Paul right now.
Venmoing Anthony Davis $50,000.
But yeah,
makes
that's
too much sense for him to come here, though. Like, it just, like, I don't see him going to any other team.
It's the thing that's annoying about it right now is it's like everyone agrees that he's coming here. It's just like, make the announcement.
You had that Vegas Twitter account yesterday.
No one's saying anything other than the Phillies at this point. Like, absolutely no one.
Fans, it's, White Sox fans are all agreeing.
Everyone has resigned themselves
literally
that
every
Bryce Harper's a Philly,
fan.
Except for Bryce Harper.
Every baseball fan is saying it.
Yeah. And then you had that Twitter account yesterday come out and say that, like, it's been agreed upon, and that account has reported LeBron leaving Miami, KD going to the Warriors, Horford going to the Celtics, and Gordon Hayward going to the Celtics, even after that whole period of time where we thought he was going back to Utah. They had all four of those before Woj and anybody else did, because I went and looked at the timestamps at all of them, and I was like, holy hell, like, they had this. And then people are tweeting at them yesterday, like, oh, you didn't get this right, da-da-da-da-da. And then they doubled down on it today and said, just relax, like, the added Aaron Rodgers in the tweet with the capital R-E-L-A-X. And it's kind of just like them, they said it's them determining whether they want to do a pre-Super Bowl or post-Super Bowl announcement, whether, you know, the physical goes through and everything, and a whole bunch of, like, little logistical things, but we're just waiting.
Yeah. Next week, hopefully.
Feels
hopefully.
Like an eternity at this point.
Sounds like we're talking about Markelle Fultz up there.
Oh, God.
Next week, hopefully. Hopefully we get
it's
it.
Like
reevaluated in 3 weeks.
It's the same conversation every single day.
Yeah, Markelle Fultz is going to be back next week. I don't know.
we're supposed to get an update from a specialist in a couple days.
Yeah, he's going to be reactivated, dude.
I don't know why
you're
coming back from Thoracic Park. Get your merch. Speaking of the Sixers, though. Getting wins that they should last night against the Lakers. No LeBron, no Kuzma. Those are games you got to win. And me, personally, last year, that's a game I could see them losing. Even with LeBron and Kuzma not being in there, that's a game that last year they'd find some way to lose, and last night they just came out guns blazing in that first quarter and said, we're here to win and take names, and they left with names and made the Lakers look like a laughingstock.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to watch the game because it was a Pacific start time, 10:30. No chance of staying up that late. Like, I didn't even attempt. I just went to bed, knew I'd catch, like, extended highlights in the morning. From what I saw and from what I read the Athletic recap, which you should all read. It's awesome. Jimmy had a great night. I thought, especially from the highlights I saw, very unselfish, maybe a little too unselfish. But that's, like, we talked about, like, the blueprint for this team and what we need them to do to obviously be successful in the playoffs. That, again, is, like, the blueprint, especially for Jimmy Butler. Like, just getting, like, super involved in every bit of play. That's the type of guy
he is. Jimmy played point guard last night.
listen. I think people really, like, get stuck in this, like, frame of we need to have a, like, you don't need a
it's kind of positionless
point,
basketball
right now. Especially when you look at the players we have, like, Ben Simmons isn't a point guard. He just is, like, our main initiator.
He runs
that's
the
it.
Point.
Yeah, like, he's a four.
Yeah.
The dude is 6'10". I don't know, like, I think Jimmy could do a decent job of it. I don't think he's the long-term solution. Mm-hmm. I think what we're seeing is Brett tinkering around a little bit still. And I think, you know, for everything that, like, people said about Jimmy Butler and how he quote-unquote called Brett Brown out, even though Brett had absolutely no problem with it. No one with the organization had any problem with him saying what he said. Was that Brett understood that, yeah, he needs a bigger role. This is a guy that, up until this point in his career, has been able to have the ball in his hands a lot. He sort of got this weird reputation of just being a 3-and-D guy, which just isn't really the case because he's like an average 3-point shooter, and he's a really good cutter to the rim, and he's a good ball handler. I think he can pass pretty well. I think the biggest thing is we're looking into, like, the trade deadline now, and we're going to start adding some pieces, and we'll get some buyout guys. I think you're really starting to see this team in its quote-unquote final form, or at least in the final stages of what we hope that the Sixers team is going to be.
Right.
I think you look around the league, too, and, like, we've put ourselves in a really good position. I mean, the Pacers, Oladipo goes down. We're going to be able to hopefully move into that three seed. Boston's struggling a bit, so we should be able to stave them off and really cement that spot. Jimmy's starting to play well. I thought Ben looked great. Mm-hmm. Joel, he had that weird, like, awkward fold-over.
That was concerning. Yeah. As soon as it happened, everyone just went, ooh.
My heart stopped.
I saw tweets, and I was like, oh, no.
He looked like a contortionist, and I was like,
it was like the
oh
Matrix real fast, like, just, like, slow-mo.
And he was just like this, and I was like, that's not good.
Especially after sitting for 6 days. Like, he did that to rest his back, and then first game back had that kind of fall. And, like, that's completely expected.
It's weird because my hands haven't gotten clammy with Joel Embiid like flying around in a really long time. Like, it's been a bit since I've gotten worried about him falling on the floor, but I was like, I not even knew it was coming. Like, I saw the highlight, I was like, oh, I know where this is going. That's obviously the main concern, is keeping Embiid just in shape for the rest of the season. Look, like, let's be real. We know that he's never gonna play, you know, he's never gonna be like a 75 plus player. He just physically can't. I was cool with him taking time off. Mm-hmm. I thought he looked pretty good in that game as well. Now we got Golden State on Thursday. If he's sore, why even risk it? Yeah. Like, listen, I love the Sixers. I'm an optimist. We're just going to get screwed by the Warriors Thursday. Yeah. They are, like, the hottest they've been. DeMarcus Cousins is just, like, end-gaming everyone.
And see, that's the other thing. If he is sore, you don't want to put him up against a center like DeMarcus, because DeMarcus is going to play very physical.
Are you saying DeMarcus Cousins is dirty, Don?
Yes.
Is that what you're insinuating?
It's not a big surprise if I'm trying to insinuate that, but
that does not sound like DeMarcus Cousins and Draymond Green to me.
Yeah, right. You don't want to risk Joel. You don't want to risk Joel in a game like that. So, no, I completely agree. You make a good point talking about the positionless basketball stuff, because I think that's the biggest problem Brett has had, and people have been like wrongly accusing Brett of it. He's tasked with, like, a very hard thing. You have a point forward, essentially, right, who's the initiator of your offense. He runs down the court in transition. He does it well. And if we get it, normally good things happen. What's our weakest point is when it breaks down and we have to initiate a half-court offense, and we really don't have a go-to guy to do that, right? Now it's up to Brett to come up with different schemes that are initiated by the different players that we do have.
That isn't just a J.J. Redick handoff.
Exactly. Like, that's one good play that you can use as a quick hitter, but you can't be, like, dependent on it.
Too often that is Jimmy, our only hitter.
Jimmy pick and rolls with Joel. Jimmy pick and rolls with Ben. You know, Landry has developed as a great player. He could potentially be our one. You know what I mean? And he could be that guy, which adds a little bit of, you know, the threat of range off of a pick and roll. You know, it's just up to these guys and up to Brett to make a playbook that does work. And like you said, it's our final, like, or what seems to be getting close to our final form. You put these little pieces in, and I think we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. I think, too, like I said, I made up some. Do we want to move into trade talk now?
Yeah, let's dust off the trade machine.
Yeah, bring. I want to hear these.
So if you haven't heard of the Dunked On NBA podcast, it's great, and they do a mock NBA trade deadline where they all take a team, like, they all have like 7 or 8 teams, and they legitimately try and do as realistic trades as they can possibly do. So some of these are sort of more from that. Some of them I thought myself. First one I got is Garrett Temple and Jamichael Green. So this is involved with the Grizzlies, who are trying to move Mike Conley, Marc Gasol. So Garrett Temple, Jamichael Green for Wilson Chandler and a second. We have some pretty good second round picks this year, and that'll be a theme for a lot of these trades, is that they're of good value. We have the Bulls second, which is going to be like 35 or lower, more than likely, which is, you're almost bordering first at that. Yeah, so it's really good value, and let's be real, like, we're probably not really going to have much use for a lot of these second round picks, and if we can throw them in, get ourselves a or several rotation players, that's worth it to me. So Garrett Temple, a wing that can play very effectively. Jamichael Green, that's a guy who can play at the four. We don't really have to rely on Wilson Chandler as much. These are more rotation guys for me. This is someone that, you know, like, these aren't guys that exactly move the needle per se, but are going to be able to give a little bit more breaks to guys than what we have now. I think Jamichael Green, we're trading Wilson Chandler for him. I think he's an upgrade on Wilson. Mm-hmm.
And Garrett Temple's become a much better player than what he's been in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, Garrett Temple is having a good year. I think, for me, this trade is just about getting some better depth and improving on Wilson. I don't think it's the best trade we can make, but I'm curious to hear any thoughts on such.
I like it because, like you said, that's an upgrade on Wilson Chandler. He's either hit or miss whenever he plays, and most nights he's, you know, another season of The Walking Dead. So I like it. I think Garrett Temple would be a nice little fit on this team, too. How long are both of them? Are they both on expirings?
Yes. Which is good because they're... Look, like, we're trying to add and maximize as much value as we can this summer. So that's good for us as well. Yeah, and yeah. I think that's an added bonus for the Grizzlies. They're close to the tax as well, so they're trying to get under. This would put them under some of that as well. So I think it'd probably work for both sides, and the Grizzlies are probably going to be sellers at the trade deadline.
I'm indifferent about it. Anything that's just, you know... I don't mind Wilson, but any upgrade on Wilson is, you know, widely accepted.
So. Should I throw my best one at you then?
No, save that one. Let's just keep
Well, you're indifferent about that one. No, I really want to have this discussion.
That's okay. No. All right.
So this is a low key one. This is one that I don't think would happen on itself. I don't think the value's right. But I think if you throw in a pick or maybe different assets, this would work. I really like DeAndre Bembry. He's a Philly boy himself. He's from New Jersey. I think he'd fit really well on this team. He's an athletic wing. He's not amazing. Like, this again, this isn't a guy that is exactly going to be starting for us, but I would trade Furkan for him. I don't know that the Hawks would value Furkan as highly as Bembry, but there's rumors that they do want to move on from him. Furkan's an expiring, which would be good for a team like Atlanta because they're going to be wanting to just take on bad contracts. That'll give them a little more space to work with. And for us, he's team controlled for a little bit longer. Furkan, remember, we declined that option on him. So after the summer, he can walk. So I think that would be again, it's more of a lateral move than it is anything that's going to really shake up the team. But I think that's something. The Hawks and the Grizzlies are going to be two teams, I think, if we are to make a trade, those are the two I would highlight with, just because they're clearly going to be selling off or taking on some contracts. And they have, both of them have players that very much fill a lot of our needs.
Plus, DeAndre Bembry knows how to throw hands with Marcus Smart, so.
That was, playoffs. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's exactly what I was thinking, too, is that we need an asshole on this team. Yeah. Like, we don't really have.
Yeah, no,
Jimmy needs a sidekick.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that one.
I don't know that the Hawks would necessarily go for that. I think you'd probably need to tweak that a bit. This is the trade.
I like this one a lot.
This also kind of sprouted from the Dunked On trades. This one was one that they sort of talked about as well, and I really liked, and I wanted to have us talk about it as well. They didn't have the same. You can sort of mix our contracts around. The problem is we don't have great salary fillers. We pretty much have like Ben, Joel, and Jimmy, and then it's like not that great outside of that. So we have Wilson Chandler and Fultz for Jeremy Lin, Dwayne Dedman, Taurean Prince, and we're giving them on top of Chandler and Fultz our first and
I saw this one on I saw this on Twitter, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, yes,
load up,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
Shut up!
I swear to God, I saw it on Twitter.
No, you didn't.
Yeah,
I swear didn't to see
God. I know you saw it on Twitter, but you were not like you love Fultz.
No, it's not that. It's not that. Oh, yes.
You're still on the hill, buddy.
However, yeah, I'm dead on the hill already.
Brother, you've been buried for some time. And we have not been back to clean up the grave.
Look, I was being really optimistic about it, man. But, you know, I've been saying recently we need to, you know, kind of offload him with as much value as he has now, because it's only going to go down. Like, it's went down a lot more since, like,
listen, there's a reason we have to throw in a first in this trade, because he's at bedrock.
I know. But when I saw this, I was like, we're getting rid of somebody who doesn't even play for us, and we're upgrading Wilson Chandler, right? Wilson's the other one in the trade?
Yeah.
So, and the first is what gets it done, but then we get Jeremy Lin, who is a competent point guard in the NBA. He's really good. Dwayne Dedman is a very good backup
center. Former Sixer Dwayne Dedman.
Process. Bring a little bit of that. And you said Taurean Prince, right?
Yes.
I like Taurean Prince.
He is a good wing.
Yeah, young athletic wing, someone that has like pretty decent defensive potential still. This is someone that I think can grow with the team and, mm-hmm. and fulfills a need. There was a lot of talk about Nikola Mirotić, and I just didn't really have the time to make up a trade for him, but that's someone as well that I think we might get involved when if mm-hmm. New Orleans does move Anthony Davis and say they want to move on some other assets. I'm not sure. I don't like people have been really like hyping up the Jrue Holiday stuff. I just don't see it happening. Yeah, he just has too high of a contract. I think they're going to value him way too much for us to even have a shot. A guy that has been talked about a lot too, especially to the Sixers, is Rodney Magruder. He's a wing on the Heat, and the Heat have just an absolute surplus of wings. It probably wouldn't take much to get him, and I think he'd be a just again, we really could just use NBA bodies at this point. Mm-hmm. We could probably prime the way with a second, and it probably wouldn't even need to be, you know, something like the Bulls or like we have that Milwaukee second this year. So I think that could be a guy as well that we might sniff around. But Dwayne Dedmon apparently is someone that we're really interested in. Yeah. That's been coming out today. That's someone that we've kind of been circling around. And I wouldn't be surprised to see us pick something from the Hawks because they're going to be sellers. But that's like all the trade machine stuff. We'll see. I think regarding Fultz, if anyone's upset about Fultz being moved, the problem is that we've seen just no progress in any meaningful way. And the main issue with Fultz is he's going to hamper what we can do this offseason. It's not even that. He has a $10 million cap hold, which is going to really inhibit what we can do. Because we're not even
the max.
Yeah, it prevents the max. And I know that it probably feels like selling really low on a guy that we were all very high on and we all really wanted to be special and maybe still can. But at this point, like,
it's not going to be in Philadelphia.
Exactly. And I think we're at a major crossroads as an organization because it sucks because I think the past few years we've all watched like young stars develop and it hasn't. It's never linear. It's not just year to year. They're improving exponentially. You know, like they have good stretches. They have bad stretches. With Markel, it's never been good. It's pretty much been bad the entire time outside of a triple-double against the Hawks. and it's just, I think it's just time to move on. And just like, I think just if you're still like high on Fultz, I think you just need to like be realistic and get your head out of the clouds.
Take your blinders off. And
if you're high on him, you should be happy that he's getting moved out of Philly and getting a change of scenery.
Yeah, because I don't think it. I just don't think this is the spot for him.
No,
in no way.
If he's gonna blossom late, it's got to be somewhere else.
I think you can like you can said, sell right teams now, on him still though.
Yeah, right now, he's gonna hurt us more than he can help us. Just like people are saying that now about like Jahlil Okafor because he's having a good stretch of games, and
he's like, gonna make Anthony Davis want to stay
right,
in New Orleans.
Right, like oh
that's
look,
why Anthony Davis is leaving
oh, look,
New Orleans.
Sixers should have never got rid of Jahlil. You see what he's doing now. No, but he was hurting us so badly when he was on this team. We had to get rid of him. Same, like
is he still hashtag vegan Ja? Is that why he's...
I've been seeing the hashtag free Ja coming back up again.
Oh, my God.
It's ridiculous.
That was the lamest stuff ever. Like, sorry you weren't good enough.
Yeah,
I don't know what to tell
Hold
you.
Hold on. Yo. Dylan was messing around with the trade machine. What do you think of this?
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
That's a good one. All right, so... Wilson Chandler, Markel Fultz, Zaire Smith, and TJ McConnell for Wesley Matthews and Luka Doncic.
Listen, I would do that in a heartbeat, but Dallas, I think Dallas would see us call and be like, no. Mark Cuban's really pissed at us because Wilson Chandler made
want.
A really nice
Mark
block
Cuban
last
would just
week.
Hit you with the Shark Tank line and be like, I'm out.
Don't forget Mark Wilson Cuban allowed a sexual predator to run his organization. Don't Bingo. Ever let him forget that. So
Wilson Chandler called
anytime,
him a cop. It was hilarious.
Anytime he wants smoke on the Twitter, just let him know that he's a piece of shit. Yeah.
Plus, I don't think Mark Cuban would want Wilson Chandler on his team after he was like big mad on Twitter about his dunk that he had the other night.
Yeah. Okay, can we talk about... Jimmy Butler doing the blunt
oh,
thing
yeah.
on the court.
Wilson must have brought some stuff.
What did
Denver.
We say? This is why this team has upper respiratory infections. Hide it better, please. They just got back from Denver.
Yeah.
That we just caught their plans for the evening.
Oh, my God.
Wilson looked high.
Well, obviously, when he freaking traveled right underneath the basket.
From Denver to L.A. Jesus.
Did you see my
now
tweet?
Now he's going to Oakland.
Oh, did he write to Sacramento?
Wilson might miss his team chartered flight back. Oh my god!
Did you see my tweet from last night?
I didn't. I probably didn't.
I was like, "Hey, bro, you want this? Nah, let me get this."
Right to Amir Johnson. Are we ready to have also the Anthony Davis talk?
Let's do it.
Are we going to trade Ben Simmons for Anthony Davis?
No.
I'm not going to lie.
What?
I'm not going to lie. In the morning, when I first got the news, I fired up the trade machine really quick, and I saw Jimmy Butler worked. I was like, let's throw this on the Twitter, see what happens. As I thought about it more, I was like, dude, like, we might be dumb enough to trade. No, I'm going a different direction. We might be dumb enough to trade Joel Embiid for Anthony Davis. Like, we might be that stupid. I'm just saying, be prepared for Elton Brand to be chewing on blocks and we wake up tomorrow and Joel Embiid is in New Orleans. I'm just saying, brace yourselves. I would love Anthony Davis on this team. If you had him and Joel in, like, the front court, that would be, like, legitimately an all-time great front court. But
yo, it amazes me how many people on Twitter think that Anthony Davis is a true center.
I think that's because he defends centers better. Like, he wants to play the four, but...
And we saw that last year when Boogie was there.
He's so much better at the four than he is the five. He defends the five better, but I don't think he can play the five better than he plays the four. He creates so many matchup problems.
Just the thought of him and Joel together just...
Yeah. Wherever he goes, like, if he gets to play the four, he creates so many matchup problems, like, against power forwards in the league. It's unfair. You know, that's why he was having the season he had last year.
All I'm going to say is this. If it really comes down to it, and Ben Simmons is on that trade block, we've talked about Ben. We know what his weaknesses are. We know that he has, as he's been described, he's a Van Gogh with a smudge in the right corner. Like, he's as amazing of a player as you're going to get, but he has one of the most glaring weaknesses you can have, especially as a point guard. If we get to a point where it goes into the summer and Boston's sniffing around Anthony Davis and they're going to have a shot at him and maybe these playoffs don't go well and people sour on Ben like we did last year and going into the fall, I don't know. I don't know. I think whenever a guy like AD is on the market, you have to at least have a conversation. And there's no way we call New Orleans and Ben isn't the first name. It's just not.
Did you read the SB Nation article by Matt Ellentuck about, like, every team's possible offer for Anthony Davis?
I think there's only, like, four teams that matter, though. But
yeah, well, he ranked them. He said there's obvious front, like, the first two obvious front runners, the Lakers.
The Lakers, like, don't give them the best offer, though. That's what's so annoying about this, is the Lakers are going to give them this poo-poo platter, and it's just going to, like,
poo-poo. Yeah, he has it as Ingram, Lonzo, Josh Hart, Caldwell Pope, and any first-round pick, which...
Any
like,
first-round pick
are
from the Lakers
everything.
Is just
going to...
You're
like, going to
be picking in the 20s. What's the point?
Then he has the Celtics.
Celtics have by far the best offer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what everybody's been saying.
They can cut Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and they have, like, five first-round picks
to offer. But I feel like... Do you think it's more likely if Kyrie stays or if Kyrie leaves?
Apparently Kyrie wants to leave. That's why
Anthony
doesn't
want to
go to Boston.
Trade.
Kyrie's going to LA.
Kyrie wants out, so do you think they pull the trigger on this, or do you think Ainge waits?
I'm saying, dude, like... Anthony Davis does not come in the market ever. Like, you do not, like... Listen, like, here's my argument with, like, trading Ben for AD. I'm not specifically for this, but here's my argument. AD is what you want Ben to grow into. Not specifically, like, a power forward like him, but a guy that can be top five in his position both ends of the court. He's a top five offensive player overall and a top five defensive player overall in the NBA. Those guys do not come in the market ever.
He's a top five player in the league.
Like, you get that every now and again where you can trade for a piece like that. Like, trading sucks because you're going to have to give up a boat for him. But, I think the people dismissing the Ben for AD stuff, like, just like that is, like, I don't know, man. Like, there's a discussion to be had there that I think maybe we're, like, I don't know. Like, are we forgetting that we were all, like, crapping on Ben 4 months ago?
Do you think this package is too much, though? Ben, Fultz, Wilson, and a protected pick.
No. The only person we're giving up of value is Ben.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, again, I love Ben. I think he's a great player, but, dude, like, so is Anthony Davis.
I think people are undervaluing Anthony Davis. I think if Anthony Davis wasn't playing in New Orleans, if this was a guy that was playing in New York or something, like, people would be like, yeah, give him stock into Josh Harris's dumb freaking trust fund company. Like, whatever he wants, he can have it, because, like, I just...
Anthony Davis can be the new owner of the Devils.
He could. He might be better at it.
So, some of the other dark horse teams, the Bucks, the Mavericks, the Nets, the Knicks, and the Raptors.
The Knicks aren't a dark horse. The Knicks, if I had to order in terms of value, like who can trade for him right now is just the Lakers and the Knicks, really.
Well, who would you put in the
Porzingis.
Knicks?
Porzingis.
Yeah.
So Porzingis in this year's first, make it top one protected.
He has Porzingis and Hardaway Jr.
I think you'd probably want to give more just because Porzingis is a question mark, and I don't know that you want just Anthony Davis back, because you might ask for like a guard in that situation. But yeah, I mean, Porzingis is better than any Laker that you can throw up, even with the ACL 100%. Injuries. And if you give him that, just a top one protected pick is better than anything LA can throw at you too.
Yeah, the Bucks would be Middleton, Bledsoe, and Thon.
No,
not a chance. That probably doesn't get you Jimmy Butler.
Mavericks is Harrison Barnes, Dennis Smith Jr., Jalen Brunson, however many first round picks they need.
No, not a shot.
Brooklyn would be D'Angelo, Jarrett Allen, Joe Harris, and Ed Davis. There's no way the Nets do that.
No. They want to lock D'Angelo Russell.
Again, half of these trades wouldn't get you Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Like, think of what we had to give up for Jimmy, who, again, is still a great player, but we had to give up Robert Covington, a first-team All-NBA defensive player, and Dario Saric, a young player on a rookie contract who's very good and fits in the modern NBA. We had to give up two very good players to get Jimmy Butler.
Now,
just multiply Jimmy Butler's value by 5.
Yeah.
If not more.
His Toronto offer...
Toronto's
interesting. Yeah.
Pascal, Serge, OG, and a first-round pick 2021 or beyond. In an effort to keep Kawhi. So this is like something that you do...
With a ring this year.
Yeah. Yeah. You're doing that to make sure that Kawhi does not move anywhere else.
I just don't think that they move on from Siakam like that, though. Yeah. Like, and that's all you're really getting out of that trade, I think, in New Orleans. But I don't know, man. I don't think we'll get involved in any way because our own ship's cowards. But I think it's a discussion to be had, and like you can like bet that Elton Brand is on the phone having some conversation at least once this week about Anthony Davis.
This one's interesting. The Houston Rockets offering Capella, Eric Gordon, and the first round pick package that they were going to use for Jimmy Butler.
That they didn't get Jimmy Butler with.
Yeah. That they didn't pull the trigger on.
The one trade that I did see is a 3-team trade with us, Houston, and New Orleans. Houston finally getting Jimmy, them giving that first round package, us sending like a few players. That is like, that can maybe happen, but again.
Is that the one where like Drew comes here and then?
I don't even think it was, I can't remember the specifics, but it was essentially we get Anthony Davis, Houston gets Jimmy Butler, and Rockets get some weird twin of our assets. Mm-hmm. Kind of rolled into one. But
how do you want the ultimate trade?
Oh, is this the one that completely just shifts all these teams in the NBA?
So this is a 4-team trade with the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, this one's fun.
New Orleans, the Lakers, and the Celtics. Utah gets Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, Solomon Hill, KCP, Rondo, Lance Stephenson, Terry Rozier, Elfrid Payton, Wagner, Williams from the Celtics, and Bonga from the Lakers.
Yeah, I need the picture because I'm not going to remember everything that you say.
Oh, my God.
New Orleans gets Al Horford, Rudy Gobert, Ricky Rubio, Marcus Smart, Lonzo Ball, Morris, Aaron Baines, Beasley, Kuzma, Josh Hart, and O'Neal.
Dude, they got to shut the trade machine down, dude. People just got too much free time.
The Lakers get Gordon Hayward, Moore from the Pelicans, Jay Crowder, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Donovan Mitchell, Nito, and Frazier.
I think if they made you like pay 50 cents every time you put a new trade, like this madness would stop.
And then, how does that happen?
And then Boston gets Derek Favors, Joe Ingles, Mirotić, Dante Exum, Julius Randle, Wesley Johnson, Brandon Ingram, Udo, Zubac, JaVale McGee, and I can't say this guy's last name.
Irrelevant.
Yeah. Salary throw in from the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean.
And the trade is successful.
I think there's a pretty decent chance, man. Here's my piece, and we can leave it at this.
Yeah.
I hate the Lakers.
Agreed.
I'm going to be so pissed off when we wake up tomorrow morning and they've traded just like a scrap heap for Anthony Davis. It's going to be the dumbest trade of all time because everyone knew as soon as Anthony Davis signed with Clutch Sports, everyone knew this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. You talk about the problems with MLB. This is another huge problem with the NBA is that LeBron runs the entire league and everyone's just like resigned to that fact. And I'm saying like literally as soon as Anthony Davis signed Clutch Sports, everyone's like, oh yeah, he's going to LA. Like this is LeBron. Yep. LeBron's childhood best friend runs the sports agency. Come on, fellas. What are we doing here?
And then Anthony Davis gets a $50,000 fine for tampering.
For requesting, because you're not allowed to publicly request a trade. Like
and you damn well know he's not paying that. He's just not paying Rich Paul for 2 months for his agent fee.
Yeah, $50,000 means absolutely nothing.
Pennies.
Shout out to SportsCenter for running with a completely false Instagram. Insta-face, by the way. Jesus Christ.
Yo, he did like 3 or 4 different pictures, too, and people were believing him so much. It was hilarious. It was
beautiful.
Just thinking about Anthony Davis on the Lakers makes me sick. I can't wait till they get bounced in the first round.
Think about him on the Warriors.
Hashtag, shut up. You realize we want to win a championship, too, right?
Cue the Soulja Boy meme. The Warriors.
Yo, how about Dylan still on the trade machine?
I like this.
You ready for this one?
It's time to log off.
You ready for this one? All right, so Wilson Chandler, J.J. Redick, and Markelle Fultz will be shipped to Golden State for Steph Curry.
You really don't like Wilson Chandler.
Dude, I just like this is fun.
Or he really likes Wilson Chandler because he's sent to California.
Yo, hold on. So with this trade, you have decreased Golden State's projected wins by 11. And with this trade, you've increased the team's projected wins by 4. So Steph only increases our wins by 4.
Steph moves the
needle
a little more than 4, yeah. But sure. Yeah, I'd love to have Steph Curry on the Sixers.
I just love how the whole Lakers narrative is out there now. You know, the whole Anthony Davis thing, and then Woj just coming out saying that if the Warriors don't extend Klay, he could go to the Lakers and...
Oh yeah!
It's
did you see the Lakers fans are putting together their potential starting five pictures for next year already?
It's gonna be. I'm telling you though, I think if Anthony Davis goes to Lakers, I think Kyrie doesn't resign and goes to Lakers as well because you have this whole redemption story where he's calling LeBron, where he's out to dinner, and
I'm sorry, I'm an idiot.
He is. He's the dumbest person in the NBA, I think. But
LeBron will show you the world's flat.
It was crazy. Yeah, I've already seen the Photoshop pictures of Kyrie.
Hashtag not my goat.
Kyrie, Klay, LeBron, AD, and who was their center?
They know that cap space exists, right?
I forget who was their center, but...
Like, I know you got unlimited Photoshop time, but...
Yeah.
They're probably running on the Photoshop trial.
They're going to have max contracts and, like, just ring chasers. They're still not going to beat the Warriors.
No.
Even if Durant leaves, like, I don't think that... That team doesn't... They could get Anthony Davis and still not even make the playoffs this year.
That's facts.
I was so triggered too last night when I think KCP hit a 3 and it literally cut their deficit to 11 and LeBron's over there like flying like JJ the jet plane, looking like a total buffoon.
Well, did you see the tweet that everybody's been talking about? The one where the guy was talking about Brandon Ingram putting up 36 points, didn't even shoot a 3.
And they only lost by
16 points.
Yeah, you only just got blown out at home while we're on a West Coast stretch. It's fine.
I loved Wob's tweet, too.
What a bunch of losers,
like Brandon Ingram is either a future Chinese Basketball League MVP or the next coming of Durant.
Yeah.
Like, there's no in-between. He was just talking about people on Twitter.
Everybody talking about the stare down on his dunk on Corey Brewer was like the coldest stare down ever.
Corey Brewer would literally murder him. He got sunned by Ben that game. You remember when Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram was like a debate?
Yep.
You remember when people debated that? Jesus Christ. That what a loser organization. Can we move on? Because my blood pressure, I can feel it.
Last question. Does Corey Brewer get signed for the rest of the season?
He's our next CEO, I think he's probably in line for to be a GM. Nothing would surprise me. I hope so, but we'll see. It all depends on trades and deadline. Mm-hmm. Apparently Elton is behind the scenes, according to Brett Brown, very, very aggressively, what did he say, like very aggressively figuring out the roster.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's really even means. I don't think Brett knows what that means. We're probably going to make a trade. Maybe Fultz is gone. And we'll see what happens with the buyout market. That's what's dependent on Corey Brewer's future. In a way, I hope that he isn't on this team, because if he's still on this team, that means we were unsuccessful in either trading or getting a valuable piece. So, in a way, I do sort of hope that he isn't for the rest of the year. I like Corey Brewer, though.
Unless we're able to trade somebody like Furkan or something.
Yeah, that would be really the only way Corey's on this team.
Which I think he gets moved just because they didn't pick up that option. So
exactly. He's got to be gone. Out the dough.
Love Corey. Plus, I mean, if we need... You know, salary matching. We just throw in Markel's chain he was wearing last night. It looks like it's a couple million.
Yeah, he better start putting some of the money away. He's been out of the league in 2 years.
Wrap things up with last night's performance from Anthony freaking Stolarz and today's Let's Talk Day. Jesus, Brooke, Anthony Stolarz.
Okay,
I know you're a fan.
How'd you know? No. Kind of just stepping like one step back real fast. This is, I finally feel like I can breathe when I'm watching any type of defensive elements for the Flyers now because of Carter Hart and players like Anthony Stolarz. And I don't want to kind of jump the gun because Stoli just came back from December 15th. He's been out. But to come back from an injury and stop 38 goals, second career NHL shutout. That's friggin' awesome for a backup. And I am perfectly fine and more than content with Hart being starter Hart and then Stoli the goalie.
You can't say it and not sing the song. You got it.
Carter Hart. I'm done with Elliot. I'm done with Neuwirth. I feel...
Facts.
It just, there's no reason to have them play moving forward if Stolarz is healthy. And I just think it's been decades coming for the Flyers fans to just be able to be content with goaltending. And they're not even, like, we don't even have to be content. Like, this is amazing what we've been watching. So I love admitting that I was wrong about Hart. I thought he should have played the whole season in the AHL. I love saying that I'm wrong.
Same. Comics fun me for that sometimes. Now you're right.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time. No, sometimes. No, it's great. I mean, only the Flyers go from having a goalie problem, as in having no goalies, to now having a good goalie problem and having these two super young goalies. And they still have, people forget, they have several goalie prospects who could easily find their way into the NHL as well.
Sandstrom. Wait.
And the guy they haven't signed yet, the Russian kid. I always butcher his name. It's like Yusemko. I don't know.
I'm not even gonna try it.
Yeah, but you get what I'm saying. Like, he's still 19, 20. He's playing in like not the KHL, like their junior league, and he has the last like 7 games. He has like 4 shutouts. So the future is more than bright for the Flyers for goaltender, which is something we haven't been able to say in my whole lifetime.
Agreed.
Dylan knows.
Yeah.
I've been an Anthony Stolarz stan since day one. So
Kyle, like, literally
anytime
he's
positive.
Yeah. His first start, you know, like, Anthony Stolarz.
Oh my god. Kyle was texting me throughout the entire game last night and he was like, "That's my boy. That's my boy." I get it.
I'm still alive on my hill, unlike Dom with Mark.
Yo, too many shots this way tonight, man. Too many.
Hey, I'm taking more shots than Markel has this year.
Oh my. Drop the
mic. Drop.
You know what, man?
Hey, man, you said you were happy dying on that hill. So.
I am. I mean, I gotta
deal
with
it. We have public record of it.
I know we do. It's everywhere. It's on it's on iTunes, not Apple Music.
Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts.
It's on Spotify.
It's on Spotify.
It's about to be on iHeartRadio. Like... It's about to be everywhere.
It's on SoundCloud, Facebook.
Matt's dying over here.
No comment.
This is my take on the Flyers. I can't get happy yet.
You're sitting next to a complete optimist.
I know.
Right?
I know.
You're sandwiched between two Flyers people.
I know I am. I'm just saying.
Why can't you get happy yet, Dom?
Look,
what's your beef? Give us spill the tea, sis.
I love seeing that the Flyers are on this winning streak. There's just something in the back of my head because I guess I'm used to it now of just them letting me down.
What a Negadelphian.
When it comes to the Flyers, yes, I am. I'm sorry, I'll say it as I am. I'm just waiting for, you know, something to happen.
It's just,
it feels too good right now.
It's just seeing how broken and mismanaged the team was in the first half of the season. Like, they were broken. Yeah. They didn't have motivation. They didn't know what to do, what moves to make, who to fire, what, like, any possible trade scenarios leading up to this deadline. And for them to come back from All-Star break and pick up right where they left off, I mean, winning on back-to-back games, coming off of a week break, that's not an easy thing to do. So I'm giving them credit for that, and I'm happy for them because they're winning. And the atmosphere, from what I've seen in the locker room, is much lighter, and the guys are enjoying themselves because they're able to play confidently in front of our goaltending now.
I have noticed that about the locker room. Nolan Patrick,
I just want to call him out real fast because since he scored, not call him out negatively, like positive Patrick moment.
Pats for Patrick.
Since he broke the 24-game goalless drought.
That was important.
Yeah.
His confidence has skyrocketed.
He did a total 180.
Right.
Complete 180.
So, I'm crediting him to that because you're watching him on the road.
I'm sorry.
What is happening?
I don't know. I was laughing at
I'm really happy for Patrick because he's 20 years old, and for anybody to call him a bust, like, catch me outside. Like, it drives me nuts.
At will. At will.
Yeah, my brother. I think my brother has said multiple times.
No, that's
not. All right. I don't think he's ever been definitive about Nolan Patrick being bust. I think he said he's worried that Nolan Patrick might be a bust.
He's 20 years old, second overall pick.
I think it was the chubby cheeks that got him. I think that's. I think that's what rubs him the wrong way. That might be it. I think the confidence thing is right though, because I think it's really easy to forget that athletes are people and they can deal with, I think it's important to say on Bell Let's Talk Day, they can deal with confidence issues. They can, I think things like that can affect you. And
for sure.
They think about it. They absolutely do. They think about the goals that they've scored or that they haven't scored. I wouldn't be surprised if that was a weight lifted. And I think, you know, like we said, that beginning of the season was about as bad as it's been in a really long time.
It was bad.
In my living memory, I can't really remember the Flyers being that much just dysfunction.
Yeah, the most recent worst season prior to this, like the earlier part, was like the 2006 season or 5. One of those seasons, they were really bad the whole year. But, yeah, they definitely turned it around. So it's nice to see them actually playing good hockey. And, like, you know, about how you're saying how athletes definitely take things to heart. I mean, there's a really great example on the team. Like, Carter Hart is not very active on social media. He's very, like, zoned in. He's a sports psychologist, which is very important. And then I'm going to throw a little bit of shade. I still love him. But guys like Voracek actively search Twitter and ban fans.
Unblocked.
Fans. So
and I'm hurt.
You can see how, like, the difference of athletes taking, you know, like, different, like, people saying things about them. So.
I think if you're a hockey goalie, you absolutely have to talk to a sports psychologist. Because, you're probably already a crazy person. And two, because, confidence.
Yeah,
I think to willingly stand in and get, like, 90-mile-per-hour vulcanized rubber shot at you for your entire life is... There might be something wrong with you to begin with.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
There was a brief stint in my hockey career where I tried it, and it wasn't for my mindset.
That's why it was brief.
Yes. It was all of one game, because the other goalie didn't show up.
That was me with catcher in softball. They were like, have you ever caught before? I was like, no. They were like, all right, we're gonna get you out and throw you out there. I was like, all right.
Way to be a team player, you know?
That was the worst game of my life.
I can never say the same. Never stood in a lacrosse net in my life.
No.
Why would you?
Never
Jesus
wanted
Christ.
To. Never did, never wanted to.
I was never a soccer goalie. So.
I was a soccer goalie for a while.
That's what made me stop playing midfield, because I didn't want to play defense and block shots. I didn't even want to
No wonder Markel's your favorite player.
Oh, man.
One other thing.
Chill.
Effort on only one end of the court only.
Hey, when I played basketball, I played defense.
That's true.
Yeah,
that
just,
is true.
Just lacrosse. I don't want to do all that.
I've seen it with my eyes.
One other thing that popped in my head, too, of Eagles notes. Obviously, it's Super Bowl week, and we'll have more Super Bowl talk on Saturday's show, but the Sims and Lefko podcast from Bleacher Report's down there, and their guests yesterday were two former Eagles, Michael Vick and DeSean Jackson. And this has been news I've been waiting for since the beginning, but they spilled all types of tea about Chip Kelly, and I was here for it. So
speak your truth, says
Michael Vick. Confirmed that hyperbaric chambers were a thing, because he said that when Chip Kelly came in, it wasn't about, you know, talent or players or anything. Like, DeSean Jackson said he was going into position battles with practice squad players. It was, like, nonsense. Like, Vic had a quarterback battle with Foles every day in practice. DeSean was going up against Riley Cooper in practice for the number one spot.
That's a name I haven't had to think about.
Vic said that, you know, nothing against Nick Foles because he loves Nick Foles and everything, but at that point, you know, Vic thought he deserved to be the starter coming off his what should have been MVP season in 2010. And he said he was laying in his hyperbaric chamber, like, crying, not even knowing why, but he was like, you know, I came into this league, I, like, you know, rebranded myself, got my life back together, and now this dude's going to come in his first year and, like, take this starting opportunity away from me.
It's very college, because, like, that's what you would do on a college team, because there's no, like, there's obviously, like, differences in quality, but there's no, like, you kind of, like, just have to go with what your best is, and you may not know that until you literally show up to the first practice. Mm-hmm. Like, in the NFL, yeah, like, there's established roles, and like there's a reason players are paid more, like, because you're the better player.
They talked about the dream team, where Vic seemed very pissed off that Vince Young came out and said that they were the dream team. But they talked about, like, you know, DeSean Jackson and Michael Vick would be hanging out at each other's houses. Vic's kids are like DeSean is their uncle. Like, they hang out all together. Shady, DeSean, Vic, Zach Ertz, Brent Celek, like, they would have family gatherings together. Like, they thought they were a special team that was going to go on and be that first Eagle Super Bowl team. And then Chip Kelly was just like, nah, like,
let's DeSean, blow it up.
You're out of here. Vic, you're out of here. Macklin left and went to Kansas City.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you know, Celek and Ertz stayed. And then you had all the leftover free agents
and
everything.
Shady drama and Shady Goff.
Shady gets traded. But they pretty much confirmed that Chip Kelly was the douchebag that he was portrayed to be. And
everything that we already knew, but now it's confirmed.
Yeah, confirmed by the players that were there. And I'll send you guys that audio because it was
I need to hear
fun.
That ASAP.
And then Adam Lefko is a big Eagles fan, and he was, like, trying to convince DeSean to come sign back with the Eagles. And he's like, I'll be your second agent. DeSean's like, I don't even have an agent right now. I just fired my agent, so I'm negotiating all my contracts. He's like, I got one more year left with Tampa, but we'll see how that plays out. So, might see DeSean Jackson trade this spring.
Hey. Could do a quick tangent, because I wanted to see what Vince Young was up to these days. And I went on his Wikipedia.
Oh, no.
Apparently, Vince Young has had a very hard life the past few years. I feel terrible. But so the last line is, impersonator in bold. On September 23rd, 2011, Stephen Pittman, a registered sex offender in Maryland, was arrested on felony fraud charges for impersonating Young. So someone
Jesus Christ.
Impersonating Vince Young. This made it to his Wikipedia.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently Vince Young
yikes.
Pretty much spent all of his NFL money and is bankrupt now and was playing in the Canada Football League.
Didn't that happen to Jamarcus Russell, too?
It's like an obscene amount of athletes go broke. I think it's like 80% or something.
Yeah.
Happened to AI for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, because thank God his agent got in that Reebok deal that he gets in, what, 40 years now? It feels like forever still.
No. He got the bag and secured it.
Well, because he was going to the 2020 club too much. That's why. Shooting pool.
Hey, can I make another quick tangent? I just saw this. I don't know if any of you guys saw this.
No.
So, comparing...
Time's up.
Thanks, man. It's Ben Simmons' first 100 games
compared to
all-time greats' first 100 games. In his first 100 games, Ben has 1,570 points on 54.5% field goal percentage. Kobe had 1,048 points on 42.5. And then Ben has 833 rebounds compared to Dennis Rodman's 508. Simmons also has 808 assists compared to John Stockton's 563. Simmons has 165 steals compared to Stockton's 155 steals. And Simmons also has 6 more blocks than Ben Wallace.
So what you're saying is that Ben Simmons is the best player of all time. By that metric?
No, because there are certain names not on this list.
Can't think of any players that have played in NBA history that are better than that list.
Will.
Kobe Bryant's on the list, bro. I don't know one more.
LeBron.
No, I think it's a good stat. I mean, it's a little cherry-picked. I like it because people have this weird thing about Ben where just because he can't shoot means that he's not a great player, which he is. The fact that – the thing with Ben that always gets me is, like, I like to be critical of him, but at the same time, like, I recognize how good he is. He's constantly in conversations with all those guys that you just mentioned. Like, most notably, he's always in with, like, Oscar Robertson. Like, he was the youngest to get to whatever amount of triple-doubles it was since Oscar Robertson. Always in conversations with, like, things that LeBron did at his age. Like, the things he does are incredibly special. It's just he has a very real weakness that is going to affect this team's ability to win a championship. And I think people harp on that too much and not necessarily... I forget who it was that said this once, but if Ben Simmons could walk on water, people would be upset that he doesn't drown. Like, it's just like he's amazing at so many different things, but that just one thing that he can't do is like the one thing you really need him to be able to do. So I don't know. I'm hopeful that maybe one day he, starts shooting the ball, but he did shoot a three.
Technically.
It's progress.
Hey, he's been shooting a couple more post hooks and kind of jump shots in the mid range. So there's progress, you know. Hopefully he extends it a little bit further. But
he better. I mean,
we need it.
Listen, like at the end of the day, like the dude's getting paid tens of millions of dollars and he's going to get paid very well by this team. Like put in the work in the summer, like Joel did. That's really all I got to say. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm accusing Ben of, you know, being lackadaisical this summer, but. It's clear that Joel worked on his game. And
the Pelicans removed Anthony Davis from the end of the intro video where it shows the entire team.
I mean, so why wouldn't... Yeah. Why would you keep him around at that point? Did you see him dressed on the sideline?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Trying to coach.
That man's going to live in L.A. dressing like that? He looks like a Scooby-Doo villain.
Yeah.
Did you not see him? He looks like the owner of, like, the... The like, ski lodge.
That's common of the night.
Mr. Davis!
It was me the whole time. Would have gotten away with it, too. If it wasn't for my unibrow, it's so recognizable.
Do you remember what a weirdo he is that he did that fake campaign for April Shame Fool's last year? Bro. Like, no one believed it. Right from the get-go, he's like, yeah, this is clearly an ad. Like, he's drinking Red Bull, he's like, yeah, we got a surprise in you, April Fool. God, I hate it.
When he turned into Rocky.
I don't know. In my mind, that's how Anthony Davis talks. He talks like Andrew Luck and Rocky mixed to me.
Oh, yeah, it's really great. It's a great time. I can't wait to be LeBron's pony and just stand in the corner and shoot threes. I'm not one of the greatest players of my generation. I'm just going to be a rebound guy now.
Stupid.
Lakers Kevin Love.
He's... It defies... I don't get it. It's not good for my blood pressure to talk about it. Trying to be good to my body.
I think that's all we got. Brooke, your assessment of your first time here at Underground Sports... Not on the lacrosse podcast.
Not on the lacrosse podcast. Different for sure. Making sure to study up on NBA for next week. And yeah, it's highly anticipated, super fun. And I gotta make sure that I get here on time so I can bring my laptop and everything and get
Same.
All set up. Because
even if you're late, you're always ahead of Dom.
I caught on to that as soon as I walked through the door. So it's fun, and I'm happy to be on. So thanks for letting me join.
Handled it like a pro.
And Brooke will be here every Wednesday that she can from here on out because she's Ooh. Part of the squad. So welcome to the team.
Thank you.
Formally. But yeah, that's going to do it for this edition of Underground Sports Philadelphia. Once again, shout out to our sponsors that allow us to do all these fun conversations and everything for 102 episodes now. Main Auto LLC, Huffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. Saturday afternoon, we'll be live again, 12 to 1, talking Sixers, Flyers, who knows, maybe Bryce Harper, And if we get any type of, you know, Eagles updates with contract signings and that kind of stuff. But, hey, who knows? Make sure you check out our Underground Sports Philadelphia Wall of Fame ballot. It's up on our Twitter page for the Phillies vote.
They're killing me, by the way, the ballots.
Yeah, it's fun. We will be announcing them next Wednesday, all of our winners, and potentially getting these awards to those people if they're actual people. But Philly's ballot's up now. It'll last for 2 days, and then the Eagles ballot will go up this weekend, and that will be the final ballot. And then Wednesday, we'll announce all of our inductees to the first class of the Wall of Fame right here at Underground Sports Philadelphia. But for Dylan, Dom, Brooke, and Matt, I'm Kyle. This has been episode 102, and we are signing off. Peace.
That one's pretty sick. People's champ.